Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast and YouTube channel. Listen, make sure you subscribe today. You can go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can go to our YouTube channel, True Underdog, or you can visit trueunderdog.com and subscribe to all of it.
Damn, 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 True Underdog. Damn, damn, unleash damn, the power within. Damn, damn, damn.
Hey, Jason, welcome.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for having me on. I'm super excited.
Great, great to have you on. You know, I noticed from your LinkedIn, I mean, I introduced you as the founder and CEO of Power Home Solar, but you're also the host of the amazing podcast, True Underdog. It seems like the things that you're touching these days really meet with tremendous success. That podcast is no exception. Just curious, first, tell us, how's the podcast doing?
Podcast is booming. I appreciate that. It's called True Underdog. It's, you know, we've had a lot of entrepreneurs. We've had you on there. We've had Jeff F. on there. I don't want to screw up his name.
Yes.
We've had Brian Elias. Those are some big Detroit names that we've had on there. You know, I just had Freeway Ricky Ross on there, Joseph Newgarden, Barry Sanders, Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank. A lot of, you know, the CEO of Hint Water. I mean, a lot of entrepreneurs I've got to talk to, different walks of life that have actually, you know, turned a bad situation into a great situation. And, you know, our team really busts their butt. We use Young and Profitable Podcasting, and they've helped manage and do everything. What they did is we've been a top five entrepreneur podcast for almost 2 months, I think 2 months in a row, and number 21 on Apple trending. So we're super excited and proud of that.
It's incredible. Now, the reason I mentioned the podcast right now, first of all, did you name the podcast?
I did not.
Okay. So where did that name come from? Because I know it's how you, it is in your DNA. You are the true underdog made great. So tell us about the brand.
So, you know, I deal with a company called Sussman Agency here in the Detroit area, and they are the ones that changed our brand for Power Home last year, kind of put my face on the brand, which I was against up front. I'm like, I'm kind of bothered and douched out about that. I don't want my face everywhere. That's weird. But they sold me on that you got to have a trustworthy face in a home. You got to have, you know, a big smile. They got to have a face with the logo and the brand. And their goal was kind of, and I'm nowhere near this, so I'm not comparing myself, but how Steve Jobs is to Apple and iPhones, they want me to be the face of solar. So, you know, you got to take the stairs. You can't take the elevator. So it's a slow process, but, you know, it's become, you know, a big thing. And then they came up, I got excited. I won the Entrepreneur of the Year award last year for the Southeast. And that, you know, some of the winners there and the judges were like, you got to write a book. I'm like, I've never read a book. So I decided to start a podcast. Right. I decided to start a podcast, and it blew up. I mean, I didn't expect it to get as big as it did. It took off, and, you know, super jacked about that. And then now I've got a book thing going, but I'm still, you know, forefront. I'm the, you know, the commander in chief of Power Home Solar. We are booming. We just had our holiday party this past Saturday where we gave out over $210,000 to our employees on a virtual holiday party. We had five $25,000 winners. So we literally changed some of our employees' lives this past weekend, and we were super excited about that.
That's amazing. That's got to feel great. Let me go back to a couple of things. You mentioned the Sussman Agency. Alan Sussman is a genius, and he really relies heavily on this idea of icon marketing. That's what you're referring to. It's not so much about, you know, your picture, your face as the face of the company, but it's your face as part of the branding and the orientation and the brand attributes that Sussman is able to put together around that personality, that key figurehead of the company, that icon that really drives the company. And certainly we've seen you on the Lions commercials, Detroit Lions, you know, there you are. And my kids, I tell them, I know that guy. And my kids say, you know that guy? You know, and that's the thing about it. It creates this kind of, you know, you write a book and all of a sudden you're an expert. You put your face in a commercial on the front of a successful company and all of a sudden you're, you know, a rock star. And you are these days, and Sussman's done an amazing job. I think that has to be one of your key moves, in fact, was going to that icon marketing method. But before we get to the key moves, let's make sure people understand your story and the story of Power Home Solar, your company that makes it all go. That is the heart of everything. It's what's driving the revenues and allows you to do all these cool things now. Now, look, in your own words, I thought this was so interesting. On your LinkedIn profile, here's the way you describe yourself. After hearing the words no or you can't too many times, You unleash the power within to start three companies with your most recent venture, Power Home Seller, skyrocketing on a path to becoming a billion-dollar enterprise now with over 1,600 employees and almost $1 billion in revenue. Look, it's an amazing success story. We all want to be great entrepreneurs. We all want the byproduct of success that comes with being a great entrepreneur. Look, you're a kid from a trailer park. You heard no too many times. And look at you. How did you do this? Tell us about the story. How'd the company get started? Why solar power, et cetera?
Yeah, no, thanks. Thanks for the kind words and explaining it. I mean, you know, I still get chill bumps thinking of the where I started and where I'm at now. And I'm still humbled and I'm still thankful and I'm still blessed. And, you know, I thank God I got a great family. I got a lot of things that go my way, but I didn't finish high school. I didn't go to college. I had a kid in my teens with my wife. We have four beautiful kids now and a granddaughter and a grandson on the way. And I'm only 41, Jeff, so life's only starting for me.
Okay? Listen, I can tell in meeting you the short times they have, you live five lives for every one of our, you know, every one of our one. You're on fire, man.
I appreciate that. My wife says she wishes she can take a little bit of my energy and just give it to herself because I don't know what it is. I wish there was a way I could turn it off. I can't because I do get tired every now and then, but I need to be pushed. And, you know, my parents were hard workers. You know, I grew up in a little less than, you know, middle class. I mean, we in North Carolina, we were less than middle class. And we moved to North Carolina, it was less than that. You know, we did live in a trailer park. I didn't know there was a judgment zone or there was an issue with a trailer park. You know, growing up in Phoenix, it was no big deal. Moving to, you know, at 15 years old to North Carolina, you know, when you go to high school and people tell you, why do you got a fake Tommy Hilfiger on? Why, you know, what kind of car do you have? Why, you know, you live in a trailer park in Southbrook? Like, you know, you start to get judged and you start to get this chip on your shoulder because people are treating you less than, not because who you are or you know, the kind of human being you are or even how you look. It's because of something you can't control as a child, right? Where you live and how much money you got. And it kind of creates some fuel and some fire inside you. And, you know, then fast forward, I'm had some bumps in the road with they're now my in-laws, but they were judgmental. You know, they would make fun of where I lived. And it, you know, I would be dating Elizabeth at the time. And that kind of gave me the audacity and strength to say, you know, enough's enough. Like, I don't care where I live. I'm going to make enough money one day. I buy them dinner. I fly them places, which by the way, still to this date, I pull out the black Amex. I pay for dinner. I fly their asses everywhere. So
good for
just
you.
So we're clear. Now, I love them and all is forgiven, but we're not changing that. That was one of the drivers in my life to say, you know what? I'm sick of you guys judging me and my family. And, you know, nothing was perfect at home. My parents worked their asses off, but my dad had a lot of financial issues growing up. He bankruptcy 3-4 times in my lifetime that I saw it. And, you know, he has struggled, but he's always worked a blue collar job and barely made, you know, living check to check. My mom worked a job. I helped my dad deliver papers in high school. So I would go to school. Then I would go to work at Boston Market or, you know, Bojangles or whatever. Then I would turn around and help him deliver papers in the middle of the night, then go back to school because he needed help and we needed the money to pay the bills. And to me, that was normal. When you live in it, you're like, yeah, this is the way it is. And
that's
when you
the
become
way
an adult.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Go ahead. No, I was just going to go to that. All of that had a way of shaping you into someone that knew what you didn't want. Right?
That is very true. You know, when you're growing up with people or you have influencers in your life, some good, some bad, you got to remember that. You know, I heard Tony Robbins say on, you know, I'm not your own guru. And I never used to be a big Tony Robbins fan until I saw that recently. And there was this lady who had issues with her father, but he also said, well, you need to also, all the problems you got from your father, you need to thank him for all the great things you got too. You need to blame him for that. And that's kind of what it is. That mentality of watching my parents struggle or watching my dad not be financially sound or, you know, getting made fun of. Those are the things I didn't want to do, but I saw his work ethic. I mean, you know, a man that's trying to provide working two jobs and working third shift and my mom doing the same. I mean, I was the oldest of three, so I was there watching the kids. And, you know, I got into sales early. You know, I had this gift of gab and very passionate and you know, I can kind of get the room to, you know, hey, believe in what I'm talking about. And only if I believed in the product, because I've tried to sell things I didn't believe in and that I suck at that. But if I believe in something, I feel like I've always had this, you know, God-given gift to get everyone else to buy in and let's go do this together. And so I was successful at a job I wasn't supposed to have at First Union where I lied on my resume. And folks, this was back in like 99, 98 time frame when they didn't have real internet and they couldn't check stuff. But I lied and said I had a college degree and I had a fake ID so I can get this sales job at the bank. And it was a call center job where people were calling in and be like, hey, Jeff, I see you got $10,000 in your savings account. We'd love to open you up a money market where you can get 3% on your money and you could still write checks. Jeff, how does that sound? Like, don't you want to do that with no fees? Jeff's heck yeah, I want to do that, right? Yeah. So I applied for this job. I interviewed for it and I got it. I wasn't supposed to. Mm. And when I did, during training, they have a 3-week training. A 2-week training. After the first week of training, we started getting on the phone. So during the second week, it's about the fourth day, I have already overtaken the entire department that's not training in sales. Wow. They were allowing us to do sales, but HR comes and pulls me in. So I'm crushing it. HR pulls me in and is like, hey, Jason, we couldn't find your college degree at UNCC Charlotte, you know, University of North Carolina Charlotte. I'm like, did you look up Jason Waller or William Waller?
Right, was that with a Y, a J-A-Y?
We looked up Jason. I'm like, oh, well, you got to look up William. So then I'm there like, oh boy, this isn't good. So then the next week comes by, I'm one of the top reps. And now I'm in week 3 or 4 with my new with my manager, John Kinley at the time. And all of a sudden I am number one. I just got an award. And 2 days later, he's like, hey, I need to talk to you. So I'm like going to his office. I'm thinking this is behind me. I mean, it's been 3 or 4 weeks. I figured, all right, no big deal. They didn't look, I'm crushing it. I'm doing my job. He asked me straight to my face, hey man, do you have a college degree? I said, no. He said, why'd you put that on your resume? I said, well, you guys wouldn't have hired me if I didn't. And he said, yeah, I know, but you lied. I said, yeah, but I'm your best rep. And all I did is say I had something that I didn't. I interviewed well. I was the best one in training. I'm the best one on the floor. And you just won manager of the month for sales as I won rep of the month. So, you know, and he admired that. You know, I was 19 years old saying I was 22 with a 2-year degree. And he let me keep my job. Wow. And that was a game changer for me because that skill set, that experience allowed me to get other jobs in life because I did that. Right. And so I broke through that barrier of where, you know what, I've got this behind me. I've got this on my belt now. So I went and got a job at AT&T being a top rep and then Bell Atlantic being a top rep. And then I was like, hey, I want to open up a security company. I had a buddy of mine in North Carolina, Kevin Klink, who's my partner now. And he had a small security company. He's running out of his bedroom. And I said, look, if you ever want to head to the East Coast or the Southeast, let me know. And he's like, yeah, let's do that. So I was one of the top business account managers for Verizon Wireless at the time, doing well. And I was driving limos at night. My wife wanted to stay home. We are having our second kid and I'm driving limos at night and I'm working my butt off at Verizon. I'm their top BAM at the time. And so my buddy's like, yeah, we'll go out there. So I'm like, all right. So I have to get licensed and it takes about 8 or 9 months to get a low voltage electrical license. I don't know anything about electrical. So I don't study. I suck. I don't read books. You know, I take great tests. So I took a class that preps you for the test and I failed. I'm like, holy shit. So then I get Kevin involved and he flies out, thinks he's a badass. He fails. So then we get an electrician and he fails. So I'm like, I'm not going to fail again. So I go and I take the class and I take it super serious and I pass and I get the license about 8 months in. So I'm like, I'm ready to open. I go to my manager at Verizon and I'm open with him. I'm like, look, I've got this opportunity, but you've got an opportunity to keep 70%, 80% of me for while I build this or I can bounce. You tell me what's fair. And I was praying and hoping that he would give me the chance to do both. And I told him I wouldn't cut the hours, but you know, I'm not going to be as engaged because I'm trying to build something from the ground up. And he was cool with it. I mean, I was transparent. I wasn't cutting the hours as long as I was still a top performer. So, you know, from 8 to like 4 p.m., I was, you know, Verizon Wireless. And from 4 to 10 or 11 p.m., I was ISI Alarms. And, you know, my dad got a horrible package from AT&T and didn't have a job. I hired him to drive out with high school kids and put out flyers. And the flyers would say, you're going to love this, sign up to get today and get a free Craftsman garage door opener with your free alarm system for $1 a day monitoring. And back then in 04, 05, when I was doing this, people weren't getting garage openers with their homes. So people go, I want that garage opener. Well, you got to get the alarm system, but I can come see you tonight at 7. And I started to build a business slowly. And, you know, like I always say, there's no elevator in life. You got to take the stairs. And, you know, I remember buying tile board from Home Depot and that was my scheduling board, you know, it was shower tile board. I couldn't afford a fax machine. I was trying to hire and recruit people out of my master bedroom. I was meeting them at Chili's. Like, you don't wake up and you're just this great entrepreneur. You suck and you don't get paid. Like, I had another job and Kevin, who was supposed to be my partner when I did this, decided to go into real estate when I opened and had no money to help me open. So here I am cashing out a little bit of my 401k, like 10 grand worth, which went after 2 weeks was gone. And I'm taking money that I'm making at Verizon and helping grow this business that's paying me nothing for several months. And then finally, I start to make a little money. And then finally, I make enough to where I can eventually leave Verizon about 9 or 10 months in. And then I get an office and then I grow another office. And there were times, Jeff, where I was really intimidated that I had to manage and I had to coach other sales executives on the team that had 4-year degrees, that were older than me, that had more experience than me. And it took some time. Like, that's another barrier I had to break. It was, you know, I've never just been this guy that just comes out and takes charge all the time. You evolve, right? You experiences make you stronger. Failure, you know, hurt, pain makes you stronger and makes you adapt and makes you learn. And so as I would go through these struggles and some of the sales reps working for me would manipulate or take advantage or bullshit, I had a meeting, I had a bunch of guys in there, and I'm like, hey, who's gonna come into training this weekend? You know, I see everyone's numbers are bad. And this is me always letting them kind of control the situation. And I'm in my, you know, first 18 months being my own entrepreneur, running my own company, and none of them raised their hand. So I went down the list. I said, you're fired, and you're fired. Your numbers suck, get out of my office now. And I made an example out of them, and I finally took charge. And I'm like, this is my show. It doesn't matter if I went to school. It doesn't matter if they went to college and I didn't. They work for me. They want me to sign their paycheck. I've got to be responsible. I've got to be the man. I can't be scared to be the man. I've got to make these decisions for everybody, and I've got to own that. And so I started to get better at that. And then I grew that company and partnered with another guy and grew a second alarm company. It did well, but then I got sick of home security, man. I was doing it for, you know, I don't know, 05 to 2014. So, I mean, 9 years, you know, and I was like, hey, I need to do something else. And I wanted to get into solar. I thought it was cool. I saw a larger company, Vivint, that went from home security to solar and they were doing well.
Yep.
You know, me and the existing partner I had in that alarm business and Power Home Technologies, we weren't really getting along. I saw things a little differently than he did. I wanted to grow. You know, it was just a different dynamic. You can't have two alpha entrepreneurs run a company, right?
Well, it just with two work. Different ideas. If they're not completely aligned somehow, and that rarely happens, but if they're not, yeah, it just doesn't work. Now listen, we're going to run to a quick break. We're going to just take a few seconds here, run to a quick break. Okay. We're going to come right back. You are amazing. I literally, you know, my job here is to steer this podcast, to ask the right questions, to direct the, man, I turned you on, and I could have gone into the kitchen, made myself a sandwich, and come back. You were rolling. I love it. I love it.
I wanted
to stay out of your way. Your story's amazing. We're going to come back and hear how you got into the solar power business and then the key moves you made to take that business to the rocket ship success that you've experienced with it to this day and growing even more. Be back with more of Jason Waller in just a minute. All right, back on Key Moves. This is the podcast where we learn about how entrepreneurs took their good idea or their average idea or maybe even their sensational idea, but out-executed everybody else and did amazing things, including the key moves that made that business happen. We've got Jason Waller, CEO, founder and CEO of Power Home Solar. So look, Jason, you were telling us your backstory. Here you are. You've decided you want to go into the home solar business, solar power business.
Yeah, so I made a little money on the home security business, not a lot, but a little, depending on what you want to call or a little or a lot. But it wasn't life-changing for my family forever, but it was more money than I've ever made.
I was going to ask you, I just have to understand, I was listening to you go about your story and listening to your story. Were you, at this point, was there kind of a context for you and everything you were doing? Was there a plan? Was there an orientation here? This is what I'm doing. This is why I'm doing it. Or were you just on fire? I'm flying, but I got to, you know, was it about buying dinner that night? Or was it about, I'm going to be somebody? What was driving you?
Well, you evolve. And then I always want to win, right? I always want to succeed. I'm not the type I don't chase money, right? And, you know, when I opened the solar business and I told you the story of the alarm business, I mean, the solar business, I didn't get a paycheck for almost 20 months.
Okay, so you had something to prove. You had something to prove.
It's
to
about
yourself,
winning and it's success. And once you get a little bit, I got an addictive personality. Thank God I don't do drugs and never really have tried anything in my life. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, that might be a problem. But once you get a little bit of success, you get addicted to it. And it's not just for me. I want to make an impact on the people that I'm responsible for, family, friends, employees. I want to help change lives. I want to empower them to change lives. And you get excited about that and it becomes infectious. So I literally, you know, left the alarm business and opened up this company and stuck everything I made in the alarm business in it. And I failed.
Wow.
2015, I was failing. I wasn't having a paycheck. You know, I put in over $1 million that I made in the home security business. I told my wife at the end of 15, I think we're going to have to close the doors. And we only had about 30 or 40 employees. And she's like, well, you need to pray about it. And I prayed about it and I thought about it. And I said, you know what? I got to get it. This is 2015. I got to get it together. Like, here I am in another spot where you got to do a gut check and you got to make a decision. And I believe if you don't make a decision, you're screwed. You there's no such thing as a wrong decision. Whatever you make a decision on, you need to be all in, right? You got to play life. We talked about this on our podcast, you know, play to win, not to lose. And you got to play like you got pocket aces every time. You can't be scared to go all in.
That's
and bet
sure.
on yourself.
That's for sure.
And so I said, you know what? I'm going to start doing this. Rather than me kind of be the CEO and lead the company, I'm going to fire all the sales guys, fire the sales manager, fire the office manager. I'm going to kind of grow from the bottom up. I'm going to be involved. I'm going to go sell these appointments. I'm going to call these customers. And so 16 started, and that's kind of what happened the first 4 months. And when that evolved, I came up with this 80-20 rule that every month, and I still do it in my business today, I require and mandatory, our directors need to average a 20% turnover every month in their departments. I'm a big believer in that. We're not a steady company. We're not the United States Postal Service or FedEx or UPS or the bank or Microsoft.
This isn't a handout. This isn't job security
got
the
job. No, if you want to grow, if you want to grow, you need to bring in passionate fire people. You need to bring in A's and B's. And sometimes your A's turn into B's and sometimes your B's turn into C's. And sometimes you hire the wrong people, but you need to not be scared to eliminate around 20%. It's not a perfect science. Sometimes you're firing 30%, sometimes it's 10%. But what you do is it's like a hunt. You know, if your team is gazelles, you don't want the ones that keep getting caught by the lion. You want to keep replacing with faster gazelles that are going to help themselves and the company. And I run my business like I would run a sports team. I want my bench strong and I want my starter strong. And if they're not scoring points, I move them.
How much of the original 80% is still around? Because you're calling all the time. You know, you're culling the weak, you're keeping the best. I'm just curious. I mean, that 80%.
I would say not many. I mean, we have a handful of people. You know, so year one, we ended with 40 employees. Year two was like 100. Year three was 300. Four was 500. Last year, we ended with about 700. We went into COVID with 750. We're almost at 1,700 now. So you can see our growth. But we churn and burn, and some, and this is unfortunate, but this is for entrepreneurs. You got to know this. Most people have a shelf life, and that's okay because their shelf life might be 2 years, and in 2 years, you're going to help them and they're going to help you. Mm-hmm. But most people have a shelf life and they expire. The problem I think entrepreneurs have is they wait for it to become expired milk where they then rot everybody else around them when they should have been gone.
Right.
You have got to be able to make that move before the expiration date, right before it. I can't drink that milk. It's going to be nasty tomorrow. I'm going to take it out before it makes everything else stink. You have got to be able to identify that. And you've got to be able to teach your leadership to identify that. We don't hire. I told my story about resumes and I could soup up a bomb-ass resume, and I didn't have a college education. That's why I got the jobs I got early on. But we don't hire on that. I don't care what kind of experience you have. If you're passionate, if you're hungry, if you believe in what we're doing, our leadership team can train skills. We can teach how to install, how to do customer service, how to do sales. We can teach that stuff. We can't teach what's inside. And so when that stuff starts to rot, and it does for some and most people. Everyone has a different roller coaster ride.
Right, right.
You've got to learn to move on. You can't be emotional in your business. You can't feel guilty. You can't enable one person to hurt the entire company. You have got to move and move swiftly and no regrets. I've not one time ever said, man, I wish I wouldn't have fired that guy. Not once, but there's been times like I'm like, damn, I should have fired that guy 3 months ago.
Right, of course. And that's a real discipline. I mean, man, if you want to win the way you're winning, that's a discipline to stick to that 80-20 thing you do. You said every month?
Every month. We have directors calls weekly that they go over their 80-20. And every month I'm always asking, you know, and look, it's not an exact science, but that's the goal. They have KPIs and it's the best are on the team. The best are on the team.
And that creates a culture. That makes a statement from the top, right from the top. That's the way it is here. Everyone knows that's going on. It's no secret, right? That's the way it is. The winners stay, the losers go. But that's tough. I mean, that's tough. That's a discipline. And as we know, winners do the tough things they need to do that makes the difference. You know, it really does. That's one of them. So, okay, keep rolling.
So we struggled the first year and I went in and started cleaning house and started doing things on my own. Things started to explode a little bit. And I brought Kevin, you know, he's my business partner. I brought him back in 16 to help run the marketing side of it. And as we finished the year in 16, we ended up with about 14 million sales, around 100 employees, but we still lost money. But hey, me and Kevin were finally getting a paycheck. And then... And not a big paycheck. Like I already sold my house on the lake. I took that money and put back in the business. I had my wife giving me a stink eye. I was betting on myself. I would, as you guys like to say, playing to win, period.
And you were all in.
I was all in. And my big belief is if you can't bet on yourself, nobody else will bet on you. So you got to get used to betting on yourself. And, you know, you got to be disciplined. People think as an entrepreneur, you know, I'm going to open this business in like 6 months. I'm really rich. I drive a nice car. Bullshit. You don't get a paycheck. You're getting paid less than everybody else for a while, for a long time. And that's the goal. And it's not about how much money you bring home. It's about what's at the end of the rainbow. Sure. How many impact lives did you do? Sure. What's the company worth at the end, right? And that's where you got to be disciplined to just reinvest. And, you know, doing that early on has really, you know, having the opportunity where I wasn't getting a check has made me pretty disciplined throughout the thing. And then 17, we go in, we switched to American-made panels because Trump was president and he was putting the tariffs on China. We did that and we doubled in size overnight. So we were like, wow, we changed our marketing campaign to American-made and we doubled in size overnight. I remember when we did that. And so then we opened up Michigan. We did a deal with the Detroit Lions. That led to other relationships with NFL teams. And then I moved to Michigan in 18 after we were open about a year and 2 months. And started to really groom myself to not just being in the grind, but really having a vision and discipline of myself. And I have a CEO coach and I, you know, things that I've tried to evolve and be better because I'm challenging myself and I want to be better for my team. And then the best part is during 17, I didn't know what EBITDA was. And I'm not kidding. It's my third company and I didn't know what it was. Mm. And because every business I ran was, you know, cash. And so here I am in this solar business and in our business, it's construction. Call it what you want. It's construction. So we would be out marketing and 50% of sales, design, interconnection, all this, because we do everything ourselves. We don't sub anything out. We would be out 80% of what we sell for the next 60 days till we saw a dollar. So the cash crunch was real. I mean, it was real. We were struggling. We were borrowing from Peter to pay Paul to make payroll, to pay our vendors. And I have a rule. As an entrepreneur, you pay your people first, your vendors second, your last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Your last.
Gotta be
every time.
Yep.
And people don't, some people get greedy and they don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got employees banging on your door for a paycheck, you're a bad business owner and you need to quit. Mm-hmm. Okay, period. It should never be that way. And I've never had that problem, thank goodness. I've made sure they were paid first. There's been many times I don't get a paycheck. I told you, I'm 20 months in this business up front, but then we've had to lower our paychecks. In fact, during the pandemic, all the executives went off payroll for several months while we regrouped some cash to stay open, and that was part of our growth pattern. And we had some employees volunteer some of their sales bonuses. Some of the leadership team were like, no, they're like, no, let me at least do one payroll or two payrolls worth, please. Like, they were all inspired to stay open for some of our entry-level positions and installers and the folks that needed it. And so that was, we really bonded together this year. But, you know, when we, in 17, I brought on a president. You got to know as an entrepreneur what you're good at, what you're not. And I didn't know EBITDA. I couldn't tell you how to build a great corporate structure, like with HR and accounting. And I'm not built that way. So I hired Steve Murphy, who's our president. He's older than me, 66, 67 years old. He's been with billion-dollar companies in healthcare, been part of mergers, done some private equity. So this guy fit the mold. He's everything I'm not. Mm-hmm. And I'm everything he's not. Mm-hmm. So I was like, we're bringing this guy on. You can't do everything. Your ego's got to go out the door when you're running a successful business. You've got to be able to lean on people smarter than you in parts of the business that you need to make the business grow. Yep. And that's what I did. And then we hired a CFO. Then we got a private equity company to do a minority investment. Then we opened up many more markets, you know, and the growth is just on fire. We brought on a CSO that was my old partner in home security. And then he's kind of changed the dynamic of sales. I mean, you've got to find the pieces. You know, running a business is like a puzzle that never ends. And you got to be able to know that you get these pieces and you fill them in when you need to.
Well, it's incredible. And all of that has led to hundreds of millions in sales now. Hundreds of millions.
Yeah, I mean, this,
can you
this
believe
year,
that? Can you believe
that? No.
Would you have ever predicted in your life that we'd be talking about you making hundreds of millions of dollars?
No, well, you know, I don't make it. The company
makes
it, right?
But you drive
right.
You're the driver. Yeah,
but
regardless,
I do drive it.
You drive it.
We'll do our goal. Well, so it's funny you say that. So one of the guys that's our director of dealer networks, Eric, you know, we've been known each other for a long time, worked together in the past. And I remember when he first joined the team in November, like February, he's like, man, that's crazy. You guys have like a $5 million advertising budget a month. Like that takes some serious, you know, balls. I'm like, and he says it and I read it and it's like, you become numb to it. And not in a bad way. You become numb because it's never enough. What if you stop to enjoy the moment or celebrate? I believe you have a very good chance of failing. I don't ever stop. So now our budget's like 8.5, 9 million a month, right? And you know, back then we were doing 20 million in sales. We're doing, you know, 58, 60 million in sales a month now. So the difference is you can't be surprised. You got to act as if, and you have to treat every day, every week, every month as a playoff game. It's not over. High five and let's go to the next one. Cause the moment you're like, yes, we made it. You become flatline. And when you become flatline, things start to go backwards. That's my opinion and experience. So I lead the ship the best that I can to make sure that we pat everybody on the back that does well and high five them. But guys, this isn't done. It's not done till we ring that bell at Wall Street or we have a lucrative transaction to help all the employees. And then even then, because not, you can't be satisfied, you got to keep growing.
You are unbelievable. Is Power Home Solar headed to be one of these unicorns, multi-billion dollar value in this company?
That's the plan. I mean, you know, we're working on that. We've got a great team and we keep adding great assets to the team. We've got great employees. Our employees are what make us so great. And it's because our culture and how, you know, our passion, and they believe in it. And so, you know, when you get everyone rowing the same way, you know, my experiences in the last two companies, you see what you did good, you see what you did bad. You're like, how do I change this? How do I make this really one team united, not,
yeah,
you know, this versus that? And you got to make decisions. You got to be not scared to fail. You got to play to win. And you got to really believe in your people and believe in yourself and come out of your box.
Now, Jason, you heard no your whole life.
Yep.
You heard it's not going to happen your whole life. You've proven them wrong every single time. You're going to continue to do that. The fact of the matter is, I have no doubt this company's on a rocket ship to major, major front page kind of success story. And it couldn't happen to a better guy and a more deserving guy, frankly. And we're thrilled. You took us to school today. Let me just hear. I took some notes. I want to review the purpose of the show. Key moves. Here were some of them. I loved the fact that you went to Icon Marketing. I said, Alan Sussman's a genius. He makes that go. You know, here, I told you, my kids see your face. You know that guy? Wow. And I said, not only do I know, I'm going to do business with that guy. I'm going to interview him on my podcast. He's going to do solar power at our home out in the country, all this kind of stuff. I mean, and they looked at you and said, wow, you know that. Okay, Icon Marketing. That's powerful. That's powerful. That was transformative. That was a key move. Look, going to American Made. Trump became president. We were all about that. You went to American Made, even though that's a bit risky. Some might say, God, you know, price certainly in the competitive solar home market, I mean, solar power market, price is an issue, right? All your customers talked about price. Did you take a hit on price at all, or were you able to overcome that and make a case for it?
We rolled it into the customer. It's a better product, a longer warranty. We looked them straight in the face with, hey, we use American Made and you're going to want to pay a little bit more because it's a better product, a better warranty. This is the company we are. People were inspired by that.
There you go.
You don't hide from that. You don't sugarcoat it or try to do some kind of bait and switch. We're upfront with it. You know, this is what we do.
Amazing. I got another one for you. I loved your 80-20 rule. You know, companies like yours, in order to compete, have to be great at sales. Your guys have got to be great at sales. You set the tone, you set the culture, you've got this discipline. You've made it clear to them, you're here now, but you may not be here tomorrow. It's an 80-20 rule. You better perform. And you've made that clear, and that's made a great team at your company by the nature of deploying that discipline to do that at your company. So you got the best guys working for you, right? It's all about the team.
Yeah.
All about the team. That's a key move. And lastly, I heard you at the end, you talked about not knowing what EBITDA was. And, you know, a great entrepreneur, you said it perfectly. You got to know what you're good at and you got to fill in the holes. You got to plug the holes where you're not. You don't want to be the smartest guy in the room, right? That's not important. No. You got to have the vision. You got to believe in what you're doing. You got to set the culture. You got to lead from the top, but you've got to bring in the great people to do the things that you can't or don't know about or can't do or whatever, where you're weak, whatever it may be. You've done that. Those are key moves that have resulted in putting you in position to say, I'm on my way to creating a multi-billion dollar company, and we're so thrilled. Hey, Jason, you're amazing. Thank you for sharing your wisdom on Key Moves today.
Hey, thank you so much. Make sure you check out the podcast, True Underdog. Thanks, Jeff. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll be checking back with you regularly. I hope. Love talking to you, Jason.
And that concludes another episode here on True Underdog. If you're interested in hearing more, make sure you subscribe at iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the YouTube channel. You can always visit trueunderdog.com, subscribe to all of them. Make sure you check out our newest episodes coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. True Underdog, baby.
Bam! Bam! True Underdog. Bam! Bam! Unleash the power.